أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، وصل اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. ربي أنتقنا بالهدى وألهمنا بالتقوى. السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity. He provides for us opportunities such as these where we gather together in remembrance of Him tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we are in the second class on the discussion of eschatology. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Did I say that already? I did, subhanAllah. You can tell what kind of class this will be, huh? So last week we began the discussion on eschatology, and we gave the introductory discussion as far as what does eschatology mean, and then we went in through the whole discussion of death pertaining from the Holy Quran. Just a reminder that this is a discussion primarily based on the Holy Quran. So we will be looking for examples of these promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on Quranic verses. We discussed the hijab last week, and I don't want to go through it again. This side is dedicated to the ladies' hall, this side is dedicated to the men's hall. If we can just maintain that, please. And I would love to take everybody taking notes, please. This is not a majlis where you come, you listen, and you go home. Yeah, this is a class where I think that if you go back and read your notes, you'll benefit from it and maybe come back with some good questions for the rest of us, inshallah. Last week we finished the discussion on death, and we discussed how our souls will be removed, and how the souls of the good will be removed, and how the souls of the evil will be removed. Once the soul is removed from the body, we are now entering a new realm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in Surah number 80, sorry. Same thing's coming up. Right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, when describing the removal of the soul and entering this new realm, he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Min nutfatin khalaqahu faqaddarahu thumma sabila yassarahu thumma amatahu faakbarahu. He says, He has created him from a drop of fluid and then proportioned him. Then He made the way easy for him, then He made him die and buried him. Thumma amatahu faakbarah. The question is that what is this qabr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to? We know that from simply a linguistic point of view, a qabr is the grave. It's a small final destination where coffins are put in, dead bodies are put in. But as far as we are concerned from a hadith point of view, the qabr is something entirely different. It is this new realm of life where new existence will take place. And there's a hadith from Al-Kafi, volume 3, hadith number 242. Amr bin Yazid qal qultu li Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, inni sami'tuka wa anta taqulu kullu shi'atina fil jannah ala ma kana fihim. This person by the name of Amr bin Yazid reports that he asked our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, saying that I have heard you say that all of my Shia, all of our Shia, yataqul kullu shi'atina fil jannah ala ma kana fihim. He says that all of our Shia will end up in Jannah. In paradise, no matter what type of life they have led or whatever they have accounting for. The Imam alayhi salam replies back, Sadaqtuka kulluhum wallahi fil jannah. He says, I swear this is a true statement. All of my Shia will end up in Jannah. So the man replies, he says, Qultu ju'iltu fidak, may my soul be ransomed for you. Inna dhunuba kathiratan kibar. He says, what if they have, or what if I have, a lot of sins, a lot of grave sins that I have committed, big sins, kibar. To which the Imam alayhi salam replies back, Amma fil qiyamati fa kullukum fil jannah bi shafa'ati nabiy al muta'a wasi al nabi. Walakinni wallahi atakhawwafu alaykum fil barzakh. He says that all of you on the day of qiyamah will end up in paradise. Yeah, and this is going to happen again because of the intercession of the Prophet or the family of the Prophet. But I fear for you in the realm of Barzakh. Yeah, this is what the Imam says about his Shia. I fear for you in the realm of Barzakh. So the man asked him, and what is Barzakh? وَمَا الْبَرْزَخْ قَالَ الْقَبْرُ مُنْذُ حِينَ مَوْتِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says the barzakh is the grave. Since you die until the day of judgment, that is going to be where your life is, and that is what is known as barzakh. So whenever we hear of qabr in hadith, it is referring to this realm of barzakh. So the next question then is that what is barzakh? Barzakh, in simple Arabic language, refers to that which separates two things. Sorry, PowerPoint slow, it's making me a little bit slow as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses barzakh in the Quran in different ways. So for example, the famous way that barzakh is used, he says, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانْ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانْ. He says he merged the two seas meeting each other. There is a barrier between them where they do not overstep. So barzakh here in this particular context is used to describe a barrier. And then the example is given, a barrier between two seas, that which is sweet and that which is salty. And we've seen this. If you go Google two seas divided or that do not cross, you actually see pictures of two seas of different colors, and there seems to be a line in between them. And we have a few examples of this happening in the world. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses barzakh here, He is using it to mean a separation. Likewise, when He uses it to describe the next realm, barzakh is a separation. It is a realm which separates this life from the next life. Okay, and one of the qualities of this barzakh is that once it is crossed over, there is no coming back. This is one of the special qualities of this barzakh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes. So an example of that in the Quran, He says in surah number 23, Hatta idha ja'a ahadahumul maut qala rabbi irji'uni la'alli a'malu salihan fi ma tarakt kalla innaha kalimatun huwa qailuha wa min wara'ihim barzakhun ila yawmi yub'athun. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing this next realm of barzakh. Likewise, He is describing that there will be no opportunity for anyone to come back once they have crossed this realm. Once they have entered barzakh, there is no chance. And as He has described, people will long, people will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity to go back in life. Here Allah says, until when death overtakes one of them, He says, send me back, my Lord, send me back so that I may do good in that which I have left. This is the ultimate time of regret, right? Once we talked about last week that death is what is known as haqqul yaqeen. It is this absolute certainty. This is when everybody will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even those who have denied Him all their lives, when it comes to death and when they see the reality of death, and what is coming to them, they will all believe. And this is when they will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, send us back. But Allah says, by no means. It is merely a word that He speaks, and before them is a barrier until the day they are raised. So then barzakh, we understand then, is this realm that we will enter, in which we will live until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects the entire creation. And we will discuss the specifics of barzakh insha'Allah. Before going, there are other Quranic proofs which discuss barzakh that I'd like to go over. The verse that we just went over, surah number 23, verses 99 to 100, is of course a very clear proof where God says that in front of them is barzakh. It is a realm, or it is a barrier that they will be crossing over. Another example of this comes from surah Ghafir, verse 11. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ. Then they will say, our Lord, twice did you make us die and twice did you give us life. We admit our sins. Is there any way out from this plight? This is obviously going to be a statement that is going to be made on the Day of Judgment when the second life has been given to human beings. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing two deaths and two lives. And what is very interesting is that these two deaths and two lives are described by all mufassireen pretty much unanimously, that the first death that is being referred to is the death of dunya. That once we die from this realm, this is the first death that God is talking about. And the first life that He is talking about is the life of barzakh. The second death will be when the trumpet is blown. And the second life will be when everybody is resurrected. Obviously, this brings about a lot of interesting discussions in the sense that why has He not even mentioned life of dunya? Showing maybe the insignificance of this life. Showing maybe that what we are living right now cannot even be called life. Yeah, as God says, "Kullu man alayha fan." Everybody on it has perished. Right? This is fan means perish. But what is very interesting about that verse? We've discussed this as well. It is an ismul. It's an ismul fa'il fan, meaning that you are ismul fa'il means the one who is doing that action or that action is currently happening. So when He says that everybody upon it is perished, He's describing our condition right now. We are currently perished, yet we think we are alive, for example, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, when discussing these two lives and two deaths, though it is not clearly mentioned, it is we can understand once we read the verse and read the tafasir that He is mentioning or giving proofs about the life of barzakh. Another example that He gives about barzakh, again from Suratul Ghafir, verses 45 and 46, He says, وَحَاقَ بِآلَ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاءَ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. He says, while a terrible punishment besieged Pharaoh's clan, the fire to which they are exposed morning and evening, and on the day when the hour sets in, Pharaoh's clan will enter the severest punishment. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing or discussing the punishment that Fir'aun and his clan are currently receiving, saying day and night they are exposed to fire. But then if we would stop there, we would think maybe he's talking about the hellfire. But he is actually describing the hell of barzakh, saying that then when this time will come, they will enter even a severe punishment. So here this is another hint where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing barzakh to us, that in barzakh there will be punishment. There will be obviously on the other side reward for those who deserve that reward. The third example of barzakh is Surah Al-Mu'minun, the one that we quoted earlier, when people will say, send us back so that we may do good, but God says, no, this is simply what you're saying and I will not send you back. So after discussing the Quranic proofs regarding barzakh, so now basically there is no doubt that this realm exists. It's been described by the Holy Quran. And whenever we find in hadith that qabr is mentioned, it is discussing the realm of barzakh. Now let us discuss a little bit more specifically the life of barzakh. What type of life can we expect to experience in barzakh? Obviously, as we mentioned last time as well, that by describing all of these things, we are not saying that guaranteed this is exactly how it's going to be. We will only truly understand or experience it the way once we actually cross over that realm. This is simply giving us an understanding. And I think more than anything, this is simply building up our yaqeen, our certainty that all of these things will happen. And a description, we won't really feel it, or I'm thinking of another word that's not coming to mind, but it will be felt when we actually cross over. As far as the life of Barzakh and the particularities of Barzakh, the first thing that I need to correct from last week, the life of Barzakh is considered to be part of dunya and not of akhirah. Last week I had said that dunya is here, and then once we die, we have entered akhirah. And I stand corrected. Yeah, after more research on this particular subject, Barzakh is still considered part of dunya. It is simply another realm of existence. It is on another plane, you can say a higher plane of existence, but it is not considered akhirah. Akhirah will only begin with the blowing of the trumpet. Yeah, when resurrection takes place is when akhirah will begin. And there is a Quranic verse which explains why Barzakh is considered part of dunya. And we discussed this verse last time as well from Surah Fussilat, Surah number 41, verses 30 to 32. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is describing people who have died but were in a good condition. Yeah, their iman was strong, their amal salih was there. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. He says, as for those who say our Lord is Allah, then continue in the right way. The angels descend upon them, saying, fear not, nor be grieved, and receive good news of the garden which you are promised. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Yeah, we are your guardian in this world's life and in the hereafter. This points or hints to the fact that Barzakh is still part of dunya. Because once you have died, this is a conversation that is happening between angels and the soul which has died. So when they say we are your guardians in this world's life, it is not a past tense statement that we were your guardians in that world's life. They are saying, we are now your guardians. We are your guardians in this world's life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling Barzakh, this is where they are, where this conversation will take place, as dunya. Yeah? And we will be there in the hereafter, akhirah, wa fil akhirah. So this is one of those verses, and there are a few others as well. But this is, I think, the most explicit in saying that Barzakh is considered part of dunya. All right. So this is the first point that we need to keep in mind about Barzakh, that it is considered to be part of dunya. And when we discuss Akhirah, Akhirah is a realm that will not be entered until the resurrection. Yeah, that means nobody has entered Akhirah. Nobody. So the Prophet has not entered Akhirah. Currently, when we talk about Nabi Isa alayhi salam being taken to Allah, to the heavens, it is the heavens of Barzakh. It is not the heavens of Akhirah. And furthermore, then, when we discuss all of the ahadith which talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Going for mi'raj and then seeing people in heaven and seeing people in hell. This is all barzakhi hell and barzakhi heavens. Yeah. This is a point which is almost unanimously agreed that akhirah has not been seen by anybody and will not be seen until akhirah begins. So this is an interesting point to keep in mind, that in barzakh there is a whole plane of existence, including heavens and different stations of heavens and hells and different levels of hell. And Akhirah, it is almost described like Akhirah is surrounding dunya and is simply waiting for an opportunity to take over. And once the command is given, Akhirah will completely divulge in dunya completely and take over that realm of existence. So this is the first point to understand about Barzakh. The second point to understand about Barzakh, it is described by many to be the world of image, or the dream world. Yeah. And when we discuss the details of that, it'll make sense why it is called a dream world. Life there is characterized by the liberation of the spirit from the shackles of the material body. So in this particular realm right now, we are limited in that which we can do, right? Because of gravity, because of certain rules, because of mass, we are limited in how far we can travel, how quickly we can travel, and the things that we can do. In the world of Barzakh, there is no limitations. There's almost a type of freedom that has been given to the soul in what they can do and what they can't do. The spirit is no longer harassed by passion and instinct, meaning that right now we as human beings feel desire for things. Our instinct tells us to do things, go after things, and then this is where what is known as Jihadul Akbar takes place, where we fight our desires and we don't go after things for the sake of God. There is no such thing anymore. Yeah, we are not bothered by desires anymore. We are not bothered by our passions anymore. And that is primarily because this is the realm of action while that is the realm of reward. Once dunya is over, our chance for doing anything to improve our condition is over. Therefore, there is no need to fight our soul in that particular manner anymore. Additionally, thanks to the absence of time and space, the horizons of man's vision are greatly improved, meaning here I don't see the reality of my actions, while in the realm of Barzakh, the reality of the actions will become abundantly clear to me. What I have done in dunya, I will see the manifestation of that in one realm in Barzakh, and it will be seen even in a greater sense in Akhirah. Okay? But what this particular phrase means is that we can look at it two ways. When I say that man's vision is sharpened, it is sharpened in that I can see the reality of things, but also it is sharpened that I can see without any hindrances, because there is no mass per se over there. So I can see beyond this wall and beyond that wall and beyond that wall. I can see the Kaaba if I want to see the Kaaba. I can see Najaf if I want to see Najaf. There's nothing that is preventing me in Barzakh to stop me from doing so. Likewise, I'm just in a dream world. The reason it's called a dream world is because, you know, in a dream, you can travel great distances in a very short time, right? You can see many realities in a very short time. Likewise, in Barzakh, the same rule applies. You can travel great distances at the blink of an eye. You will enjoy, as it is said, you will enjoy food, you will enjoy drink, but the experiences and the pleasures will be magnified, meaning that the real essence of things will be tasted. So we will discuss a hadith pretty soon, which does discuss that we will eat in Barzakh, we will drink in Barzakh, we will have relations in Barzakh. These things will be there for us, but the pleasure of these things will be magnified. There's a story here that I'd like to share that was told to me during this past Hajj. It was... there was a scholar who came and visited us, and this he spoke to one of my teachers there, and he said that there was a death in his family, I believe it was in his family, and he flew to Iran, Isfahan, for this particular funeral of his family. And one of the at the funeral there was a scholar who came. Then this was a scholar who was known to be, in a sense, private. He did not come out of the house too much. He stayed to himself, and he was kind of by himself. But he came out to this funeral, and the guy who had passed away was an ordinary man, like myself, for example. And people were really surprised that why did this scholar come out to the funeral of this man. And then he requested to recite the talqeen on the grave of this man. He said, I would like to do so. So obviously he was a great scholar, the people agreed. And then he reports that he saw the scholar write something on the coffin with his hand. He just wrote something, and then they buried him. And then he came to the family and he said that if you see him in a dream, come and tell me what the dream was. Yeah? So some time passed, and they saw a few dreams, and each time they would go to him and he said, no, this is not the dream I'm referring to. If you see something else, come back to me. And they gave a time, I don't remember, let's just say about 40 days had passed, and the daughter of the man who had passed away saw a dream. And when she saw the dream, she reported it to the sheikh, and the sheikh said, wait, I'm coming to your house to hear this particular. So this old man, this old scholar, comes out of his home and comes actually and sits in their house and says, now tell me what you saw. And he said, the lady reports that I saw my father in the dream, and he tells me that, and I asked him, how are you? He says, I'm doing fine. He says, how is your experiences? He says, they're fine. He says, that's just that, it's just that my legs hurt a lot, he says. Yeah. So she began to press his legs for him. And she asks, how come your legs are hurting so much? He says, believe me, he says, each night one of the masumeen comes to my grave, or comes to me, and they take me to a different ziyarat every night. Yeah. So one night I go to Makkah with the imam, one night I go to Najaf with the imam, one night I go to Kazamain with the imam. And he lists the number of times, and he says, I've gone to Makkah 30 times, I've gone to Najaf 20 times. And the numbers far exceeded the amount of nights that he had died, right? The sheikh begins to cry. And he says, this is what I was hoping for, yeah, to get this type of dream. So they said, what did you write on the coffin? And he says, I wrote on the coffin that I have read a hadith which says that those who do my ziyarat, those who do ziyarat of me, yeah, just say assalamu alayka, I will come and visit you in the grave. Yeah, and he says this hadith has proved to be true by them coming and telling this. So this story has obviously a very beautiful spiritual essence to it. And the teacher or the scholar told us that never stop reciting the ziyarat of the a'imma alayhimu salam after salah. Yeah, because this is one of the benefits of that, that they have promised that they will come and visit you in the grave. So this is a tradition that really inspired me never to miss that ziyarat at the end of salah. Sometimes we want to finish salah quickly and go, but that inshallah should motivate us to recite this ziyarat of the 14 masumin. But the second point to that story was the number of times that he had visited places far exceeded the number of days he had passed. And that is because the concept of time and space there is entirely different. Yeah, one night here does not equate one night in Barzakh. Yeah, we don't know the exact numbers, but it is far more exceeding. The way we understand Barzakh, to me, it almost feels like, when I try to imagine it, it kind of feels like the Matrix. Yeah, when you think about the Matrix, I know this is a funny movie example, but when you think about the Matrix and what he experiences once he realizes the truth, where he was faster than everybody else, time meant nothing, space meant nothing, and this is exactly how that realm kind of is, yeah, where time and space means absolutely nothing anymore. You are entirely in a different type of plane. So this is another particularity about Barzakh. The third particularity is that once we die, we will be given a body that is suitable for the realm of Barzakh. So it is not simply a soul that will be there. There will be a body that will be given to us. However, the only difference is that the body will not have any mass. Yeah, because there, obviously, there is no mass, there is no space, there is no time like that. So this body, they said it is al-badanul latif, they say, but it is simply a fine body which has no, which is suitable for that particular environment. Additionally, we are told that this body will appear to be very similar to our body right now, as far as the look of that body, as far as our facial features are concerned. It will be very similar to the body that we have right now. And this comes from a hadith found in Biharul Anwar, volume 58, hadith number 50. An Abi Abdullah alayhi salam qal, فَإِذَا قَبَضَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ سَيَّرَ تِلْكَ الرُّوحُ فِي قَالِبٍ كَقَالِبِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَلْيَأْكُلُونَ وَيَشْرَبُونَ فَإِذَا قَدِمَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَادِمُ عَرَفُوهُ بِتِلْكَ السُّورَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Yeah? He says that when Allah takes the soul of a human being, and that soul leaves, it will be given another shell, and that shell will be similar to the shell that they had in dunya. And when they meet people, they will recognize their faces the way they recognize them in dunya. Yeah. So the people who have passed before me will recognize me. How? Because I will look the same. Yeah. So this is something that we need to keep in mind as well. Goes back to that particular verses that we ended last week's discussion with, where we said that when the angels take them, they will be smacking them on their back. Yeah, if you remember those verses that we recited last time, and we said that that could be a metaphor, but when we think about it now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a metaphor, because we will have a body. They can then smack us from the back and take us forward and push us to that particular next realm. This hadith is the one that mentions فَيَأْكُلُونَ وَيَشْرَبُونَ. So they will be eating, they will be drinking in the next realm of barzakh. So this is another particularity about barzakh. Next question is, what will happen then in barzakh? There's no doubt that one of the things that is guaranteed to happen is questioning in the grave. Yeah, or questioning that will take place in barzakh. In a hadith found in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 6, hadith number 223, our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, says, Allahumma wa ali Muhammad, man ankara thalathata ashya fa laysa min shi'atina, al-mi'raj wal-mas'alata fil qabri wa shafa'a. He says, one who denies one of these three principles is not from amongst us. They are the Mi'raj, the ascension of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him and his family, the questioning in the grave, and intercession. So the questioning in the grave is a belief that we have, and there is no doubt about it. Quranic examples of questioning in the grave are many. One example would be, for example, Surah number 97, verse 37. Who is then more unjust than he who forges a lie against Allah or rejects his communications? As for those, their portion of the book shall reach them until when our messengers come to them, causing them to die. They shall say, where is that which you used to call besides Allah? They would say, they are gone away from us, and they shall bear witness against themselves that they were unbelievers. So this is a question that will be posed to them in the realm of barzakh. So obviously we don't have a Quranic verse which says, man rabbuk, man nabiyuk, but these are the type of aqaidi questions that will be asked to people. Theological questions about, who did you worship besides God? Where is that God? Who did you worship? In a hadith, there are far many more examples of what type of questions will be asked. But we're trying to limit the discussion to Quranic verses. Because if we really were to go, especially when it comes to barzakh and the questioning, we will need 7 weeks just to cover a hadith on this particular subject. So we're trying to stick to Quranic verses. Another example of questioning in the grave will be from Surah An-Nisa, verse 97. Surely, as for those whom the angels caused to die while they are unjust to their souls, they shall say, in what state were you? They shall say, we were weak in the earth. They shall say, was not Allah's earth spacious, so that you should have migrated therein? So these it is whose abode is hell, and it is an evil resort. So the angels again will ask them in this particular verse. This is the verse which talks about ta'arrub ba'd al-hijra, the necessity to migrate, to the sin of becoming, of reverting on your religion after you have migrated in the way of God, right? We had a majlis about this, where it applies specifically here to us in the West. Where if we have migrated from another country, whatever that country is, and if we are losing our religion in this country, it is haram for us to be here in this country. Haram. There's no other way to put it. Therefore, we have to maintain the same standards that we had, and if we find it difficulty, we have to migrate. Yeah? And this is what the angels are asking them. When the angels say to them, فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً. Was God's earth not spacious? Why did you not migrate then if you really found yourself to be weak and oppressed on this particular earth? This is one of the sins which is listed always in the top four or five in the Gunai Kabira, Ta'arrub Ba'd al-Hijra. So these are examples of questions that will take place in the grave. As I said, the hadith do mention the kind of questions that our talqeen recite, man rabbuk, man kita, ma kitabuk, ma qiblatuk, like these. But the Quran describes actually almost like a dialogue between the people, yeah, between the soul and the angels that will take place. The next question, which is an important question, which is something that is not often discussed, is that who will be questioned? We recite talqeen for everybody who passes because we say that the questioning in the grave is haq and you will be questioned. However, when we look at a hadith, we find that not everybody will be questioned in the grave. There's a hadith found in Biharul Anwar, volume 6, hadith number 235. An Abi Bakrin al-Hadrami, an Abi Ja'far alayhi salam, qal, la yus'alu fil qabri illa man mahadha al-Iman mahadha, aw mahadha al-Kufra mahadha. Our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says that not everybody will be questioned in the grave. Only those who are purely good or purely evil will be questioned in the grave. Illa man mahadha al-imana mahadha. Yani, your iman is complete. Yeah? Only they will be questioned. Or mahadha al-kufra mahadha, or your disbelief is complete. And so the man asks him, and what about the rest? He says, فَسَائِرُ النَّاسِ فَقَالَ يُلْهَا عَنْهُمْ. He says, they will be left alone. Yeah, they will not be asked or questioned in the grave. This brings about a very interesting discussion as far as why. Why will not everybody be questioned? And we'll come to that answer. But as far as those who are purely good and purely evil, when they are questioned, their questioning will be to that extent where after their questions are done, their judgment will be passed on them. Yeah. So for the purely good, they will be given Jannah right away. Obviously, it will be Barzakhi Jannah, but they will begin to enjoy the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right away. And as far as those who are purely evil, their judgment will be passed as well, and they will begin to feel the punishment of God right away. Yeah, and this is where we discuss verses that talk about the paradise of Barzakh and they talk about the hell of Barzakh. Again, this is not for everybody. It is only for those people who are purely good and purely evil. Because questioning obviously means that judgment, some type of judgment has been passed after you have questioned. And if everybody is questioned, it would be redundant for us to be questioned again in hereafter. Yeah? When God could not question us, He's already done it in the grave, what's the point of doing it again? Right? Now obviously we can say that there are different realms of questioning, different realms of accounting. But when we find hadith like this which discuss this, it makes sense then why people will automatically then, who are purely good, will get their reward of heaven on Barzakh right away, and while those who are purely evil will be questioned right away. So when we discuss verses that talk about the paradise of Barzakh, it is reserved for these people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الطَّيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Those whom the angels caused to die in a good state, saying, peace be on you, enter the garden for what you did. From the time their soul is removed, basically, they will be shown their paradise, and once that questioning is done, they will be given their reward of paradise in Barzakh. Obviously, when it says, enter the garden for what you did, it is referring to the garden of Barzakh. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and as for those who are slain in the way of Allah, He will by no means allow their deeds to perish. He will guide them and improve their condition and cause them to enter the garden which He has made known to them. So these are some of the verses which talk about the paradise of Barzakh. As far as the hell of Barzakh, there are many verses which talk about this as well. First one is those whom the angels cause to die while they are unjust to themselves, then would they offer submission. We use not to do any evil. Surely Allah knows what you did. Therefore enter the gates of hell to abide therein. So certainly evil is the dwelling place of the proud. And if you have seen when the unjust shall be the agonies of death and the angels shall spread forth their hands, give up your souls. Today shall you be recompensed with an ignominious chastisement because you spoke against Allah other than the truth and because you showed pride against His communications. The fire that shall be brought before it every morning and evening on the day when the hour shall come to pass, make Fir'aun's people enter the severest chastisement. So these are verses which are talking about the hellfire of Barzakh. But again, it's important to remember, as we have said from a hadith, we can take that this is going to be for those people who are purely good or purely evil. The question comes then, what about the rest of people? Yeah, the majority of people don't fall into any one of these two categories. When we're talking about purely good, we're talking about purely good. Yeah, when we're talking about purely evil, we're talking about purely evil people. The rest of people have good and bad with them. Yeah, they have baggages of good and baggages of bad. These people will be continuing life, you can say. The way we continued life here, this is when we talk about they will eat, they will drink. However, the only difference is that they will be carrying with them the burden of what they did in this life. Okay, so all the good that I have done in this life, I will be, those good things will be with me in Barzakh. And all those evil things that I have done, those evil things will be with me in Barzakh. Right? So imagine a very long journey carrying very heavy bags. Yeah, you will be carrying the burden of what you did in this life. Right? As we've discussed previously, it is that realm, in that realm, our actions of this world will be manifested in a different form. Thus, we have to deal with those consequences that our actions are manifested in. And an example of this verse is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, indeed, those who consume the property of orphans wrongfully only ingest fire into their bellies and soon they will enter the blaze. Right? This is talking about somebody who takes money of orphans. Allah says that they have fire in their belly right now, right? This is describing a punishment for those who do this wrong. Now, obviously, today, if somebody takes the money of an orphan, they will not feel the fire in their belly right now. But this is what they will feel when they go into that next realm. The punishment for that action will become reality for them in that particular next realm. So if this is a person who was good and bad, but let's say he stole money from an orphan, for example, the entire duration of Barzakh, he will continue that with fire in his belly. Yeah? So that will be continuous. So this is again true for everything that we have done. Yeah? If I have given sadaqah and that sadaqah manifests itself into trees that will provide me shade, for example. This is just an example, right? Therefore, I will have those trees providing me shade in the entire realm of Barzakh, right? But if I have done something which will have a punishment attached to it, I will be feeling the effects of that entire realm of Barzakh. So it's not paradise, nor is it hell. It is life, but with the consequences of my actions that I am carrying with me or that I have done in this particular life. However, the reality also is that compared to the purely good and purely evil, this is another example. And whatever of good you send on beforehand for yourselves, you will find it with Allah that is the best and greatest in reward. You will find it with Allah, meaning that it will be there for you, waiting for you, whatever good you have done or whatever you have sent forward. So the difference between these people's existence and the purely good and purely evil people's existence is that this existence, it is not the same it is not at the same plane of existence as those who are purely good and purely bad. And the only explanation that we can give is that consider in this life one who is awake and one who is asleep, right? One who is asleep is still breathing, yeah? He still has life in him, but that level of life is different between one who is alive and one who is awake and one who is sleeping, right? Same way will happen in Barzakh. Those who have been given paradise or been given hell, their existence is like they're awake. But those who will be living their life, it will be like they're sleeping. But they're not really sleeping in Barzakh. But we're talking about just the different planes of existences that will be taking place in the realm of Barzakh. Okay? However, what we have to also realize is that the final destination of everybody will be made aware to them. Meaning what? Meaning that if a person is good but they still have evil, or they've still done wrong, but their final destination is paradise, it will be known, it will be made aware to them that your final destination is paradise. Okay? And for those who have done wrong and their final destination is the hellfire, even though their plane of existence may not be completely awake and they're not in hell right now, they will see, or they will be told of their final destination of hell. And this is because there is a hadith found in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 6, 159. Our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Wallahi innal qabra la rawdatun min riyadil jannah aw hufratun min hufarin nar. I'm saying that I swear by God that the qabr will be paradise or it will be hellfire. What we can take that to mean is that everybody's destination will be made apparent to them. And our teacher describes this in a very beautiful manner, where he says that in their grave a window will be opened up to them. And if the final destination is paradise, the window will open up to paradise. And if the final destination is hell, the window will open up to hell. And that entire existence in Barzakh, they will be looking out at their final destination. And this is why the good in Barzakh will constantly pray for the Day of Judgment to come, so that they can get their reward of Jannah. And the bad of Barzakh will pray for that day never to come, because they would rather live in Barzakh than go into their final destination of hellfire. Yeah, very interesting when it's described in this particular manner. Obviously, we aim to be amongst those who are purely good, so that our judgment and our pleasure and our reward starts right away. But otherwise, we will have to pay the consequences of our actions. What we can say then, but from the hadith that we have read, is that inshallah, as believers, our final destination will be Jannah, right? But there will be sins that we have to offset. Now, according to scholars, most of our sins from this world, most of our sins will be forgiven before we leave this world. Yeah, but there will be some sins that will remain that can only be paid for in Akhirah. And this is a question that comes about, is that why does God not just punish me in Barzakh, get it over with so that I enter Akhirah and I am free? And the answer to that is because there are sins which can only be offset in Akhirah. They cannot be offset anywhere else in the realm of dunya, because Barzakh is still considered the realm of dunya. So let's say you have somebody like me, okay, who has some sins that need to be forgiven. My final destination, inshallah, will be paradise. But to have those sins offset, my duration of akhirah will be, for example, 50,000 years. And that pain and suffering of 50,000 years will offset those sins that I have. While somebody who only has one or two things to be offset, for them it will be like a two rakat salah, and their akhirah will be over. And this is where we get how certain sins will be marked off, or certain sins will be forgiven without us having to go into the hellfire. Because only, I don't want to say non-believers, but only those who deserve punishment of the fire of hell will enter the fire of hell, right? But we have been told that we will not. But does not mean that we die and we enter Jannah right away. There is going to be accounting for our deeds that will have to be met, okay? This is, in a way, Barzakh. I'm going to take till 9, I'm sorry. I know people may want to go. You're free to go, but if I cut it short, we'll be here for another 3-4 weeks. I want to cover a next subject, and that is the signs of the Day of Judgment. Okay, because next week we're discussing the blowing of the trumpet, which marks the Day of Resurrection. So I need to cover the signs that come before that, telling us about that. And then we'll end at 9 for questions, inshallah. So when we discuss the signs, interesting. The signs of the Day of Judgment are called Ashratu Sa'a. Ashratu Sa'a it comes in the Quran meaning signs or ala'im. Yeah, which means alamat, you can say. And these are divided into two kinds. First are events that will happen before Qiyamah, and second are events that will coincide with Qiyamah. So when we talk about events that will coincide with Qiyamah, we're talking about with the blowing of the trumpet, what are the other events that will take place? We'll discuss that next week. Events that will happen before Qiyamah. The Quran lists in 7 verses. I don't think I've discussed all of them. The Hadith lists dozens. Yeah, and we're not going to go through the Hadith. We're just discussing what the Quran says. The first is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى السَّاعَةِ أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا فَأَنَّى لَهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ ذِكْرَهُمْ. Do they await anything except that the hour should overtake them? Certainly its signs have come. Yeah, the signs of the hour. The hour obviously are referring to the Day of Judgment. God has said at the time of our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, his family, that the signs have already come. All right, ashratuha, of that avail to them. I cut and pasted you. I don't know if this is right. Of what avail to them? Will their admonition be when it overtakes them? So Allah is here describing, subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing signs. What are these signs? According to some mufassirun, it's describing the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So the coming of the Prophet is described as a sign of the Day of Judgment. Okay, and there is a hadith which is found in Bihar, volume 2, hadith number 263. It says, described for Mansur bin Abi Yahya, قال سمعت أبا عبد الله عليه السلام يقول سعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المنبر فقال يا معشر المسلمين إنما بعثت أنا والساعة كهاتين. He says, O Muslims, know that me and the Day of Judgment, the Sa'ah, the time, are like these two. Yeah, meaning that the difference or the distance between me and the Day of Judgment are like these two fingers. And then he pointed his two fingers together. Meaning that after the time of the Prophet, the Day of Judgment should not be that far away. Now, obviously, it's been 1400 years. So how do you explain that particular hadith? And the way they explain that hadith is that when you take time from the beginning of time until now, and then compare that to the period of the Prophet to the Day of Judgment, it's like this. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, compared to the entire time and compared to when him and the Day of Judgment will come. Another sign is, or the which that verse might be referring to, is the splitting of the moon. Right, Allah says, "Iqtarabati sa'a wa shaqqa al-qamar." Right, that the hour has drawn near and the moon is split. Again, the moon is split. Depends on the translation. Obviously, we know that there are ahadith which talk about the Prophet split the moon for the Quraysh to make them believe when they asked for a miracle. So that in itself was a sign that God says, look, it has happened, the Sa'ah is closed. So this is one sign that has already taken place if we consider both of these to be the signs that God is referring to. The second sign which describes the coming of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in surah number 21 verses 96 and 97, where he says, when Gog, Ya'juj, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, when Gog and Magog, is that how you pronounce it, are let loose, and they race down from every slope, and the true promise draws near to its fulfillment. Behold, the faithless will look on with a fixed gaze. Woe to us! We have certainly been oblivious to this; rather, we have been wrongdoers. This is the coming of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. This is obviously tied in with the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, and I don't want to go into the specifics of Ya'juj or Ma'juj. That could take a whole lesson in itself. Is it literal? Is it figurative? Just like the question of Dajjal, is it literal or is it figurative we're talking about? We can discuss that for another time. But this is another sign that God says that it will be a sign that the true promise draws near. Another sign of the Day of Judgment is as described in this verse in Surah 43, verse 61. Indeed, He is a sign of the hour. So do not doubt it and follow Me. This is the straight path. This is referring to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. When you read the verses that come about this, God is telling the children, Bani Israel, about him and saying that he will come again when the hour is drawn near. He is a sign of that hour. The fourth verse that we'll discuss, and this is the last thing that we will discuss, that the verse is from Surah Dukhan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so watch out for the day when the sky brings on a manifest smoke enveloping the people. They will cry out, this is a painful punishment, our Lord. Remove from us this punishment. Indeed, we have believed. What will the admonition avail them when a manifest apostle had already come to them? But they turned away from him and said, a tutored madman. Indeed, we will withdraw the punishment a little, but you will indeed revert to your earlier days. The day we shall strike with the most terrible striking, we will indeed take vengeance on them. This is seven verses from 10 through 16, Surah Dukhan, which is talking about five signs that will happen before the Day of Judgment. The last verse, when we shall strike with the most terrible striking, is referring to the Day of Judgment itself. Okay, but the previous verses are actually describing five signs. These signs are a manifest smoke in the sky, a painful punishment that will accompany that smoke. People will cry out to God to remove this punishment, a reply to them that they have lied before, and then there will be a withdrawal of that punishment a little, until a future date when God says, I will give you then that punishment. These five signs are described as things that will happen before the Day of Judgment. Again, what is this Dukhan? It can mean many things, right? We don't know. This is why we said we can describe it, but we don't know things for certain. It sounds like to me a nuclear warfare, if you think about it from this way. A manifest smoke, a smoke accompanied pain. People will cry from that pain. God will say, this is what your own hands did. Yeah, when signs came, you denied. So when you look at it from that way, it could mean that. It could mean many other things. This is one example that came to my mind. The Quran discusses a few other examples, but these are the main ones. As I said, the hadith discuss many more. They discuss eclipses, they discuss the fire in the ocean, they discuss different types of animals that will come out, but we don't want to go through all of these. The second, we said, are events that will coincide with Al-Qiyamah. What we need to realize is that when the Al-Qiyamah happens, all of existence will end. We're talking about the earth will end, the sky will end, the mountains will crumble, everything. And the reason why is because everything has been given a specified term. Allah says, we did not create the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them, except with reason and for a specified term. مَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ. Yet the faithless are disregardful of what they have learned. This Qiyamah all begins with the blowing of the trumpet. Yeah? And inshallah we'll discuss the blowing of the trumpet next week. It's a very fascinating discussion. Because not only do we discuss like what does it mean when we say blowing of the trumpet, but then we know that there are two trumpets being blown, or two times the trumpet will be blown. So what happens between the two blowings of the trumpet? Inshallah we'll discuss that, and then we'll discuss what will be the situation of mankind after the second trumpet has been blown and they have been resurrected, inshallah. الرحمن ان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.